Just for the record, life does not stop here on Earth after the rapture. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRubo.
Thanks again for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we are continuing our series on Israel, and based on my book, Raised for His Purposes. The fact of the matter is, we talked about Israel, we talked already about how God is going to and has been working to regather His people, and we also mentioned and pointed out that the fact that He is doing this speaks to the reality that He values the honor of His name, something that the Jewish people, unfortunately, have dragged through the mud for years, for generations, for literally hundreds and hundreds of years, since inception almost. And the truth of the matter here, as we referenced in Ezekiel 36, is that God has promised to defend Israel, not for the sake of anything that they are, not for the sake of the people that live there. He is going to defend Israel for the sake of His holy name, and that He has made abundantly clear throughout Scripture, and especially in chapters 36 through 39 of Ezekiel. We talked about the reality that God is going to do this, and we also spoke of the fact that any Jews right now who become truly saved become part of the church. And once the church is taken away from this earth in the rapture, the only people left in the world at that point will be unsaved, whether they are Jewish or Gentile. That was one of the last things we mentioned. But what's interesting to note, and something we want to broach today, is that life does not stop here on earth after the rapture. Now, I know that there are a lot of people who believe that either the rapture is the figment of an overworked Christian's imagination, that they don't believe that there is going to be such a thing as the rapture at all. There are others who do not believe that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. There are some who believe it's going to happen during the middle of the tribulation. There are some who believe it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation, and still others believe that there is a point in which Satan's wrath is converted to or changes over to God's wrath. And at that point, since God's wrath is being poured out on the earth, the rapture occurs at that point. There's a difference in opinion as to what constitutes Satan's wrath versus God's wrath, etc. My view is that the entire tribulation, all 7 years of it, is God's wrath. And that wrath is being poured out on humanity. That's referenced in Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 27, where it talks about the final week of Gentile dominance. But essentially, life does not stop here on earth after the rapture. What begins then, in my view, is the final phase of God's plan of salvation for those in the world who will become authentic Christians. And this includes His redemptive plan also for the nation of Israel. In various parts of the Old Testament, for instance, this last week or last period of 7 years is referred to the time of Jacob's trouble, as just one example. Now, as a unit, all those who have been chosen as the remnant of Israel before the foundation of the world, by the way, will come to a point of realization in which they will understand whom their leaders rejected. And that was over 2,000 years ago when they rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. They will see this truth about Jesus collectively as a nation, as a final group. And here again, I'm referring only to the remnant. It is the same with those Gentiles who were not taken in the rapture because they're not saved. They will remain, and according to the book of Revelation, multitudes will be saved. Many will ultimately lose their life for Jesus with the tremendous wave of persecution that is perpetrated against humanity under the dictatorship, really the absolute imperialism of the Antichrist. This is the tribulation period. So God's plan to redeem all who will call on His name will continue even after the rapture occurs. Now, I've heard people say, oh, but come on, you're saying that God will give these people a second chance. Of course I am. The first time I heard about Jesus, I did not become a Christian. It wasn't until I was 13 years old that I committed my life to Christ, because I had finally reached a point of realizing my need for salvation. I have no idea how many times I heard the gospel presented to me during those 13 years before the truth finally dawned on me. I mean, it happens. It wasn't simply the first time I heard it that I received. We don't even know during Christ's ministry how many people heard it the first time and received, or needed to hear it the second time, the third time, the fourth time. Or maybe after Christ was physically gone from this earth, heard it from the apostles or other believers. God gives us as many chances as we need to receive salvation. Now, in verses 37 and 38 of Ezekiel 36, God tells us that he will increase the number of men in Israel like a flock or a herd. These people will know that he is God. This is solely because God will open their eyes to that truth, which is the only way anyone can know that he is God. Whether a person is Jewish or Gentile, salvation comes the exact same way to every person. It is by grace, through faith in Christ alone. Now, the timing may be different, but knowledge of the truth, realization of that truth, an opening of our understanding of our eyes comes from God. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel is a chapter that most who have read or studied Scripture have at least heard of, and it's referred to as the Valley of Dry Bones because God shows Ezekiel the prophet a valley that is literally filled with bones in this vision. These bones are so dead and have been dead for so long that they're literally dry. Have you ever been walking in a field or in the desert someplace, and you come across a skull or a bone of an animal? It can quickly become apparent that the skull or bone has been there for some time if the bone or skull that you're looking at is completely devoid of skin or hair or ligaments or anything. If there's nothing left but bone, and that bone itself has been bleached by the sun, that indicates age. All of this information tells us that the particular bone has been there for quite some time. Now, like any living creature, an animal that dies goes through a process of decay. The decay slowly rots the carcass of that animal. Other animals may come along and eat part of the animal. After many days, the bones will have been stripped of anything edible. Months later, the bone or skull will begin to change color from the natural bone color to a whitish shade. The longer it lies in the sun and the elements, the whiter it becomes. Eventually, it will begin to turn to dust and slowly breaks apart as it continues to lie in the sun and the other elements. Now, in this chapter, God shows Ezekiel a valley of bones that have clearly been there for some time. Listen to the text, quote, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit, by the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them, round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, there were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them." Now that's Ezekiel 37, 1 through 8. Notice that Ezekiel points out that the bones were, quote, "very dry." This tells us that they had gone through the process of death and decay, and they were simply waiting for the last thing to happen, the breaking down of those bones into dust. Now, obviously, Ezekiel seeing bones that were obviously alive at one point and are now quite dead, but not fully decayed. God asks Ezekiel a very important question about the bones. Can the bones live? Well, Ezekiel responds that only God knows. God then tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and God tells Ezekiel what to say to the bones. Ezekiel obeys. And he tells the bones that they are to hear the word of the Lord. Ultimately, God says through the prophet that he will put breath back into them and they shall live. That's the final stage. God will put sinews on the bones to connect them one to another, and then flesh to cover the bones. Notice that God is going to do this to bring the bones back to life, and also understand that God says that when he is through, the bones will know that he is God. Now, God speaks about the breath first, but really that's the last thing that happens to the bones. It's the last thing that happened to Adam as well. God created the man by forming his body out of dust, and then he breathed into Adam the very breath of life, and Adam became what the Bible calls a living spirit, as we read in Genesis 2, verse 7. Just as God created Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed life into his body, so will God give life to that which was, by all accounts, fully dead. And in order to be dead, one has to have been alive first. God here is referring to the land and the nation of Israel. He is not referring to the church at all, because the church was never dead, then resurrected. The church was not born until the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost. That is when the church came into being. It is clear from history that the nation of Israel literally died off the map. However, God, based on his own promises and integrity, was not content to leave that nation dead. And here in chapter 37 of Ezekiel, he promises to bring Israel back from the dead. And this, I believe, he began doing just prior to World War I with what we have come to know as the Zionist movement. Following World War II, a number of years later, it was clear to Jewish people that they must have their own nation again. Though they believed this was simply a pragmatic course of action to preserve themselves, it's clear from Scripture that God is the one who made it happen. So the first step in the process of reviving Israel is complete. From that point, God tells Ezekiel about the next phase in verses 9 through 10. He says this, quote, "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army," unquote. So after the bones were covered first with sinews and muscles, they were clothed in skin. But that alone does not make a living being. Only the breath of life will cause that being to actually live. God uses the wind from the four corners of the earth, the four winds, to breathe into this great army of non-living bodies. Now, once the breath comes into these beings, they come alive, and they prove it by standing on their feet. The entire implication of Ezekiel 36 and 37 so far is this: what was once dead is now alive again. The bones that were dried out obviously represent something that was once living and breathing. They died, leaving only decaying, dried out bones as a remembrance of what once lived. With those bones, God chose to build them back up and cause breath to return to them. Since it's clear that these bones were once living and are made alive again, this could not at all be referring to the church, since the church had never been born and then died only to rise again. I realize that many today see the fulfillment of this in today's church. They make a connection between those dead bones and the fact that they became alive again, and they say that once they became alive again, that is the representation of the church as the final phase of God's plan of redemption. The problem, though, is that this verse 11 is very clear when it says, quote, "Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we are completely cut off." It's Israel. Folks, that's our show for today. Thank you for joining me, and may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.